15. Consciousness returned, and Nick Appleton found himself sprawled on a green floor. Green. The color of the pissers, the state police. He was in a PSS detention camp, probably a temporary one. Raising his head, he squinted around him. 30, 40 men, many with bandages, many cut and bleeding. I guess I'm one of the lucky ones, he decided. And Charlie. She would be with the women, raising her voice to bitch shrilly at her captors. She will put up a good fight, he realized. She will kick them in the testicles when they come to carry her off to the permanent relocation camps. I, of course, will never see her again, he thought. She glowed like stars. I loved her. Even for that little while, it's as if I had a glimpse, saw past the curtain of mundane life, saw how and what I needed to be happy. You don't happen to have any pain pills on you? A youth next to him asked. I've got a broken leg and it's causing me one hell of a lot of fucking pain. Sorry, no, Nick said. He returned to his thoughts. Don't sound pessimistic, the youth said. Don't let the pissers get you inside. He tapped his head. The knowledge that I may spend the rest of my life in a relocation camp on Luna or in southwestern Utah keeps me from smiling, Nick said caustically. But, the youth said, with a blissful, radiant smile, you heard the news. Provoni's back and with help. His eyes shone despite the pain of his leg. There will be no more relocation camps. The veil of the tent is rent and the heavens shall roll up like a scroll. We've waited over 2,000 years since that was written, Nick said, and it hasn't happened yet. He thought, not one full day as an underman, and behold, what has become of me? A tall, lean man squatting nearby, a deep and untreated gash about his right eye, said,
Do either of you know if they got the message from Provoni to any of the other printing plants?
Oh, sure. The golden-haired youth's eyes flamed up with trust and belief. They knew at once. All our communications operator had to do was click a switch on. He beamed at Nick and the tall, lean man. Isn't it wonderful? He asked. This, even this, he indicated the others in the badly lit, badly ventilated cell. It's magnificent. It's beautiful. It turns you on? Nick asked. I'm not familiar with the literature from previous centuries, the youth said, dismissing with scorn Nick's anachronism. I can live with it. All this. It's mine. Until Thor's Provoni lands. He will land soon, and the heavens will... An ununiformed police official came up to them, consulted a clipboard.
You're the visitor to 3XX24J?
He asked Nick. I'm Nick Appleton, Nick said. To us, you're a man who visited an apartment number at a certain time on a certain day. Hence, you are 3XX24J, are you not? Nick nodded. Get up and come with me, the police minion said, and started briskly away. Nick, with difficulty, managed to rise to a disfigured standing position. Gradually, he followed after the cop, wondering, with fear, what was happening. As the cop unlocked the door of the cell, using a complex electronic wheel system, a spinning at great velocity of numbers, one of the men seated on the floor, his back against the wall, said to Nick,
Good luck, brother.
The man beside that man lifted a transistor tab from his ear and said,
The news just came over the media. They've killed Corden. They did it. They actually did it.
He died of a chronic liver ailment, they say. But it's not that. Corden didn't have no liver complaint. They shot him. Come on, the cop said, and with surprising strength propelled him bodily through the aperture and outside the cell, which instantly relocked itself.
Is it true about Corden?
Nick asked the cop. The green pisser.
Dunno, the cop added. But if they did, it was a good idea. I don't know why they've kept him at Brightforth all this time. Why couldn't they make up their minds?
Well, that's what you get when you have an unusual as council chairman.
He continued on up the hall, Nick following.
You know Thor's Provoni is back?
Nick asked.
And with the help he promised?
We can handle them, the cop said.
Why do you think so?
Shut up and keep walking,
the cop said, his large head, his new man expanded cranium, bobbing venomously. He looked angry and aggressive, looking for an opportunity to use his metal stick on someone, and Nick thought, he'd snuff me right here and now if he could, but he has orders to fulfill. Nonetheless, the cop frightened him. The concentration of hate on the man's face when Nick had mentioned Provoni. They may put up a hell of a fight, he realized, if this is representative of their collective feelings. The cop stepped through a doorway. Nick followed and saw, in a single glimpse, the nerve center of the police apparatus. TV screens, small, hundreds and hundreds of them, with a cop monitoring each cluster of four screens. A cacophony of noise hummed and clicked and buzzed through the big chamber. People, both men and women, hurried here and there, performing little errands, such as the one handed to this hate-ridden new man cop escorting him. How damn busy it was. But the PSS was in the process of rounding up every underman they knew of. That alone would put a burden on their electronic neurological equipment and those operating it. Just in that brief moment, he saw their fatigue. They did not look triumphant or happy. Well, he thought, doesn't the murder of Eric Corden cheer you up? But they were looking ahead, as were the undermen. The internal part, the bombing and raiding of the plants, the rounding up of undermen, it had to be done in a matter of probably 3 days. Why 3 days? He asked himself. The two messages hadn't permitted a fix on the ship, evidently, and yet it seemed to be everyone's assumption. They had a few days, and that was all. But suppose he's a year out, Nick thought. Or 5 years. 3XX24J, his escort cop said. I'm turning you over to a representative of the council chairman. He will be armed, so don't be heroic. Okay, friend, Nick said, feeling sheep-like at the rapid processes evolving all around him. A man in an ordinary business suit, purple sleeves, rings, turned-up toes shoes, approached him. Nick scrutinized him. Tricky, devoted to his job, and a new man. Above his body, his great head wobbled. He was not using the customary neck support bracket in vogue among many new men.
You are 3XX24J? The man asked. He examined a Xerox copy of some sort of document.
I am Nick Appleton, Nick said stonily.
Yes, these number ident systems really don't work, the rep of the council chairman said. You work, or worked, as a...
He frowned, then lifted his massive head.
A what? A tire regroover? Is that correct?
Yes.
And today you joined the undermen via your employer, Earl Zeta, whom the police have been watching, I believe, for several months. This is you I'm talking about, isn't it? I want to be sure I get the right man passed through. I have your fingerprints here. We'll shoot them on to the print archives. By the time the council chairman sees you, the prints will be, or will not be, verified.
He folded up the document and carefully placed it in his purse.
Come along.
Once more, Nick gazed into the huge grotto-like chamber of the 10,000 TV screens. Like fish, he thought, the people gliding about. Purple fish, both male and female, bumping together from time to time like molecules of a liquid. He had then a vision of hell. He saw them as ectoplasmic spirits without real bodies, these police coming and going on their errands. They had given up life a long time ago, and now, instead of living, they absorbed vitality from the screens which they monitored, or, more precisely, from the people on the screens. The primitive natives in South America may be right, he thought, to believe that when someone takes a photograph of a person, he steals the person's soul. What is this, if not a million billion, endless procession of such pictures? Eerie, he thought. I'm demoralized. I'm thinking in superstitious terms, out of fear.
That room, the rep of the council chairman said, is the data source for the PSS all over the planet. Fascinating, isn't it? All those monitoring screens, and you're seeing just a fraction of it. Strictly speaking, you're seeing the annex established 2 years ago. The central nerve complex is not visible from here, but take my word for it, it's appallingly large.
appallingly? Nick asked, wondering at the choice of words. He sensed weakly a sort of sympathy for him on the part of the council chairman rep. Almost 1 million police employees are maintained at the peep-peep screens. A huge bureaucracy. But did it help them? Nick asked. Today, when they made their initial roundup?
Oh, yes. The system works. But it's ironically funny that it ties up so many men and man-hours when you consider that the whole original idea was that...
A uniformed police ossifer appeared beside the two of them. Get out of here and get this man to the council chairman. His tone was nasty.
Yes, sir, the rep said,
and led Nick down a corridor to a wide, transparent plastic front door.
Barnes, the rep said, half to himself. He frowned with disarrayed dignity. Barnes is the closest man to the council chairman, he said. Willis Graham has a council of 10 men and women, and who does he consult? Always, Barnes. Does that indicate adequate cerebral processes to you?
Another case of a new man putting down an unusual, Nick realized. He made no comment as they got into a shiny red squib, which had been decorated with the official government seal.